the focus this whole between Easter and May 19th is raised. Now, let me help you with something. Pastor, what do you mean raised? What I mean is that anybody got neighbors that aren't saved and they're broken down and they're hurting? Anybody? Anybody not have neighbors and friends and family that is kind of not broken down and hurting? And folks, the only hope they have is to come to Christ, lay themselves down as living and holy sacrifices, die, I don't mean die spiritually, you know. He will reach down and he will lift them up. I'll say it again. He will reach down and he will lift them up. And he will love them where they are. Folks, this church next week should be packed. Eli and pastors should be bringing in chairs. Because we need to be a people. If you're not sure how to accomplish that outside the church, bring it here. We know how to accomplish that. Okay? We are here. And what our focus is in the heel. Our focus is that every mind that's all messed up. Anybody know anybody's mind that's messed up? I look in a mirror at somebody whose mind is all messed up every morning. Okay? Of course, I don't say that, you know. I go, perfection. No, I'm just kidding. But are you listening to me? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Seriously, we need to ask ourselves, if we believe in Jesus Christ, then why aren't we bringing family and friends and neighbors and workmates to him? What are we afraid of? They tell me, even in this crazy, corrupt world we're in now, if you'll invite people, 70% will at least, let me tell you what to do. Tell them you'll take them to lunch. If you don't have the money to take them to lunch, call me. Aaron's got more money than God. I'll get him to pay for it. You know, I'm being funny, but I'm not. Why are we not? I think this is a challenging question. This is a very challenging question. Why are we not inviting people to church? Well, you know, I'm not real proud of our church. Well, then learn to pray. Hear me. Well, the person's crazy. Pray for them. Then you could bring them and there'll be two crazies. All right? Hear what I'm saying. Are y'all listening to me? Why are we not? Why is it the same 50 people every Sunday? We enjoy ourselves. We love it. You know the preacher's good looking and really a good preacher. Why would we not invite people to this? Please, we need to ask ourselves. Board members, we need to ask ourselves. Why are we not excited about our church? Why are we not inviting hurting people to the place where they can find grace and they can find healing and they can find glory? Amen? I mean, every person, I believe this wholeheartedly, every person can come to Christ, be saved, be set free, be made new, be made holy, be made whole, be made healthy. Amen? Or let's shut the church down. Are you with me? Do you hear what I'm saying? All right? This is something we really need to pay attention to. Because everybody gripes about the world. The world's crazy. The federal government's crazy. And I will agree with that. But the bottom line is, so what? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to pray for these schools that we're afraid are indoctrinating our children? How are we absolutely going to pray for our world, our neighborhood? Man, this community doesn't even know we're here. Because we've been sitting here having fun. Let me ask you a harder question. Do we believe in heaven and hell? Oh, well, Pastor, that's a strong question. Yeah, it is. It's one every Christian ought to be asking themselves all the time. Do you know that every one of your relatives, every one of your neighbors, every one of your workmates, everybody around you, everyone in your world, if they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are under the domination of the evil one, Satan. Amen. And eventually, if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're going to burn in hell for eternity. Oh, well, Pastor, that's harsh. That's the Bible, kids. We look at people, well, you know, and I hear this, oh, well, you know, I think they went through that little prayer thing when they were six. They're living like hell now, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Say it with me. It's not okay. They're lost. They don't know the Savior. They don't have a relationship with the Savior. Online, are you listening to me? If your children and your grandchildren, I don't care if they went to Sunday school when they were little, if they're not living for Jesus, you need to pray for them, go to them, and say, this is the day God has made. Let's get it right, baby. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, I know this is strong, but shouldn't we be strong? Should we think this way? Should we understand? Jesus Christ died and rose again, not so that we could sit in church and wave our hand. He died and he rose again so that we could take the word of God through his spirit out to a lost world. And if you're not really strong in that part, at least invite them to church. Amen? You know, you really want to go for it? Invite them to your home and get them saved there and have a Bible study and teach from A to Z how to be a Christian. Amen? Is anybody with me? Well, then we've got to do it. You know? We celebrated the cross. We celebrated the resurrection. We all, woohoo, rise again. Whoa, yes, oh my, this is great. This is wonderful. Could you imagine being the disciples? Imagine being Peter. And my man Pete had said, you don't have to worry about me. He was the first one to deny Jesus. Could you imagine him? You know, how he felt? And then Jesus rose from the grave. And I could imagine they were like, man, it is time to get busy. It is time to go out there and get something done. Amen? I mean, you think the world is nuts now? You multiply that times 10. That was the world then. We whine about, oh, well, you know, the world we live in. The world has always been nuts. Amen? Anybody tell me a time in history when it wasn't? Okay? So they were ready. And Jesus got up in Acts chapter 1, and he said, listen, I am going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I will baptize you in water, but now I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And what that means is I'm going to spiritually kill you so that I can raise you up to be the man or woman I created you to be and to do what I created you to do. And the biggest thing he created us to do and recreated us to do and raised us up to do is take the gospel, the good news, to a lost and dying world. Are we doing it? We're quiet because we're not. We talk about it. We in church, we're good talkers. I read something a while back, said we talk so much we think we've done it. Folks, if we're not taking the gospel, the good news, the cross, the resurrection through the person of God's Holy Spirit so people can be saved, what are we doing? So they're all ready. He said, and when my Holy Spirit comes on you, I will make you my witnesses. You know what the word witness means in the Greek? Martyr. Want you to think about that for a second. So we're all, I'm a little nervous about saying anything. Grow up and be a martyr. Seriously. That lost friend, that lost loved one, that lost spouse, ain't it time to go, you need to know Jesus. You need to know his love. You need to know his healing in every area of your life. And it all starts where? Chapter 1, verse 14 in Acts says, listen. Man, that thing's so small. No, I'm just kidding. He said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read a book about witnessing. Huh? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to gather together and I want you to make a bunch of noise and act like you're having fun. No. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to pray. When that's done, you need to pray. And when that's done, you need to pray. One of the things that really bothers me in the church is when I ask people about their prayer life, and about 99.9% of the time, the answer I get is, well, I know when they say well, what kind of answer I'm going to get. You know, well, in other words, no. If I was honest, I actually don't have one. When we know that our neighbors, our family, our friends, our loved ones are living without the power to be able to reject and resist temptation and Satan and sin, folks, how do we not have a tremendous prayer life? And here's the thing about prayer. You got to figure this out yourself. You got to figure this out yourself. About 10 years ago, I read a book by a guy named Ravenhill. He's crazy. But he said, listen, pastors, if you're not praying 2 hours a day, get out of the ministry. I agree. We all got excuses. Well, I'm so busy. Who isn't? Well, you know, that's hard for me. Let me tell you something. When I started trying praying 2 hours a day, I thought I was going to go cuckoo. Who do I pray for next? What do I pray for next? Lord, are you still there? And you understand, I'm double ADHD. So my mind in the middle of that prayer is going, whoop, 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 whoop. I had to literally take my phone. I didn't bring my phone today because my dad called in the middle of a sermon last week. I take my phone and I type my prayers out. And does it slow me down? Who cares? Because all of your names are on that phone. I pray for you all at least 3 or 4 times a week, if not every day. Because I want you to be everything God died and rose again and sent his Holy Spirit and spoke in his word that you could be. Amen? I pray. I think back to to Moses and the Exodus. And I think of how God turned the mind of Pharaoh. 5, 6, 7 times, I don't know what it was. If God can turn the mind of Pharaoh in a negative way, and if he could come to Saul, who later became Paul, and he can come down on him and transform him, he can transform my family members. He could transform those around me. He could transform every person in my world. So my responsibility is not to read a book. It's not to talk. It's to pray. Every morning. And it doesn't matter. You know, I think the greats pray three times a day. And that's cool. That's wonderful. That's what we all ought to try to get to and all that kind of stuff. It just starts where you start. But you got to start. The average person who goes to church prays less than 2 minutes a day. How many minutes do we watch television? How many minutes are we on the computer? How many minutes are we frustrated with people? I usually get more frustrated with people than that. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let me tell you something worse. The average pastor prays less than 4 minutes a day. And you wonder why our churches are so powerless? God help us. God help us. But you enter in. Here's the cool part. In Hebrews, it says that I can enter into the very heart and holiness of God with God and his spirit and the angels and my mom who just passed and all those people that went before me. I can enter right into the center of that, not because I'm good and holy and wonderful and cute. I can enter in because of the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. So every day, every morning, every afternoon, I could absolutely enter into that Holy of Holies. And I could take my wife there because live with me, she needs all the prayer she can get. You know? I could take my kids, my grandkids, my church, the school. I could take my neighbors. Yeah, I could take everybody there. And God's standing there saying, come on down. Bring them to me, baby. I could do something you could never do. Letterman, you're not all that bright. And all God's people said, amen. You know. But he can. I don't know about you. But I've got relatives, friends, brothers, sisters. They need Jesus. If they don't have Jesus, guess who they have? The evil one. He dominates them. I don't know about you, but I got neighbors. I know my neighbors, but today you know your neighbors, but you don't know your neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. Do we love them? Then the most important thing we can do is pray for them. Pray for them. The disciples and a couple hundred people got together and they started praying. And they prayed and they prayed. The hardest thing about prayer is God doesn't do it exactly when I tell him to. That ticks me off. Doesn't it tick you off? I used that gimmick for the Bible. Oh, I said it in your name. You ought to do it now. No. God says he'll do it. But he'll do it in his time. His perfect time. He'll do it in his way. But you ever help God out and tell him, well, what you need to do, God, is you need to bring this person into somebody's life and maybe they'll turn their mind and, you know, I love you, but hear what I'm saying. Please don't get your feelings hurt. God doesn't need your help. But here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to bring all of them to him and be available. And bring all of them to him and be available. And when it seems like he ain't doing nothing, bring all them to him and be available.
Hey, Thank you for watching, listening, and subscribing. Our hope is that this content will point to the person who can heal and transform your life. That person is Jesus. If you would like to learn more about him and how to become healthy in every area of your life, we would like to give you access to Right Now Media. This is the world's largest video streaming library of biblical resources and entertainment. It's completely free. We already paid this subscription for you. Scan the QR code if you're watching or find the link in the description below. Again, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.